Good evening, welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Domestic Emergencies with Jake and Mr. Skullhead. It is Monday, October 18th of 2010, and I will be calling Jake to see if he's sleeping. Is he dreaming? And if he's dreaming, is he dreaming of me?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, nice shot.
I think I need a shot of amoxicillin or something, because I got this sore throat. It's nagging, and it's going to interfere with my ability to talk and be funny.
So kind of like your first wife, then?
So if I'm not funny, that's, did that interfere with my ability to talk or be funny?
Well, there was nagging, and probably interfering with your ability to be funny, you know.
Okay, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Anyway, so if I'm not funny tonight, it's because of my sore throat.
That's right, and if I'm not funny tonight, it's because it's just like every other night.
But you're always funny.
I'm always funny guy. I'm always funny in Philadelphia.
What have you been up to, funny guy?
Just recently I was running upstairs because I set some meatloaf to cook in the stove and it dripped and started smoking on the oven floor and set off the smoke alarm, and yeah. So I had to run upstairs and be the tall guy who can reach the smoke alarm. Nice to know the smoke alarm can go off, though, because I was... Yeah, I'm not the guy who checks the smoke alarm.
The solution to that problem is always knock the smoke alarm off the ceiling and pull the batteries out of it. Instead of, like, put out the fire, you know?
Yeah, because in this case, like, there wasn't a fire. That particular proverb doesn't hold true.
So where there's smoke, there's grease, sputtering smoke off of a heating element in an oven?
Exactly. No, just it's a gas oven, so the... It was more just grease kind of jumping around on the hot plate that was the bottom of the oven. Yeah.
So that was meatloaf, exciting. Huh?
I did. I made a meatloaf.
I heard you like meatloaf.
Yeah, I'm a fan of meatloaf. I would eat that stuff.
Are you one of those assholes who smears the top of the meatloaf with ketchup?
No, but I feel like ketchup is an ingredient of a meatloaf. That, like, goes in the mix when you're making it. This particular meatloaf...
How do you make a meatloaf? Did you look online on how to make a meatloaf? Or did you just know?
No, the spouse had already looked it up. So then she left me to do it. You take some eggs, some breadcrumbs, some... there's a little pack that the supermarket sells that's, just, like, two parts beef and one part ground pork sausage kind of stuff. And some green onions, white onions, ketchup, like Worcestershire.
You get that at the kosher supermarket, right?
Well, the kosher one, they just dunk the whole thing in milk, too. So that's good.
Yeah. Do you put cheese in a meatloaf?
I was tempted, but I refrained.
I guess you could dust the outside of it with Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, I could write an essay about Parmesan cheese as well.
So was the meatloaf shaped like a bat, and due to the fire inside your oven, would you say that pulling the meatloaf out of the oven was akin to pulling a bat out of hell?
No, but I would say that there were three loaves, and only two of them were smoking, so I figured that wasn't that bad.
Okay. I think that's it for that joke.
Yep. I think we've gone as far as
sore throat
going. So I'm trying to be more professional. I announced the date at the beginning of the show.
Did ya?
I did. I'm a bit cowed by the Vaginal Blood Fart and Salsa Shark are doing kind of just random bullshitting about stuff podcast. And I asked them if they had the first episode yet, and they... up yet, and they said, oh, you know, we're adding the musical cues, and we're doing the final mix, and we're, you know, we recorded segments, and we're linking them together, and making sure that the volume is all normalized, and, yeah, he was listening to it in his car, and he didn't like the way that the one of us was louder than the other, so he's gonna fix that, and, like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If you actually are recording a podcast, as opposed to having to broadcast live on a shoutcast station every time, you know, because we predate the fucking podcast, man. The podcast is a concept, man.
That's right. We are OG.
Yeah. I do a little bit of mixing on our stuff now.
That's cool.
I do really need to get the I really need to get the music things done though. Maybe we can record some little bumps while I'm there. You got a guitar and several other instruments. Do you have several other instruments?
I have an accordion.
Neat.
And a piano.
What kind of piano do you have?
It's a little upright piano. Used to be a player piano that was converted. Now it's a Buddhist piano.
I have a piano that used to be a Siren of Titan. Because that's another Kurt Vonnegut book.
Oh, I gotcha.
Player piano. Kurt Vonnegut book. Your folks still in town?
No, they left on Saturday. They, God, my dad worked like a longshoreman. A particularly hardworking longshoreman. To put in, we took out my front and back door and put new ones in. A new storm door in the front. Looks real nice.
Is a storm door, is that the door equivalent of a storm trooper?
It's the door equivalent of Storm from the X-Men.
Oh, neat.
So I can control the weather, like, a couple of feet in front of my door. Yeah.
I mean, that is one way. That is one of the only ways in which we, as mortal men, can control the weather, is by electing whether or not to be in our houses or out of them.
Yeah, and I have like, coarse control over the weather inside my house. We'll just say it that way. I have a thermostat that would probably give me control within a degree, but a furnace that most definitely will not.
Right, and sometimes there's a chance of flaming meatloaf.
Yeah. Cloudy with a Chance of Flaming Meatloaf was not a very popular children's book.
Yeah, because meatloaf's not really gay. So getting him to pretend that he was gay for long enough to sit for a children's book was very difficult. His heart wasn't really in it.
Whenever you write a children's book, by the way, you have to have a subject that sits there the entire time you're writing it.
Well, yeah, if you're writing about a real person in a different role, that's called acting.
Right. And acting is a very big component of books.
Yeah, the actors have to sit for the book.
Right.
That's why books are so expensive. Meatloaf Pub would probably got paid tens of thousands of dollars for that book. Was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs a thing that was actually good?
I don't know. I always liked the book growing up, and the movie looked like it was related to the book and that they had the same title.
What was the book about?
It was just
I had never heard of it, apparently.
Grandpa sits the grandkids down and tells them a story of this town where all the food fell from the sky like weather, and then the food kind of got bigger and bigger and out of control, and so the people sailed across the ocean to the place where we live today. And just kind of a quiet thing that relies heavily on the artwork, I guess. And then the movie, just to me, the movie looked like fart joke, fart joke, fart joke, chase scene, fart joke, guy gets hit in the nuts, fart joke. So I didn't bother seeing it.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but apparently it was decent.
Was it like a book from a long time ago? Was it apparently a thing that existed when we were children?
Yeah, it's a book from my childhood. Did you ever have The King Who Reigned as a book?
Nope.
Okay. That one was kind of neat, and I hope they don't try to make a movie out of it. It was like, the text would be, my dad said there was a king who reigned for 40 years, and then a drawing of a dude hovering above people, raining on them. My dad says our family has a coat of arms. Guy goes to the closet and opens up a coat that's a bunch of arms. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a bunch of wordplay.
Yeah, and I guess I'm not really selling it, but it was cool.
No, I believe you. I don't know where I got my goofy wordplay from. Maybe Highlights magazine. There were a bunch of issues of Highlights magazine from the 70s in a house that we moved into when I was little. Yeah. So I grew up reading a lot of Highlights magazines from the 70s. So yeah, did you do anything else? Well, your parents were in town for a while, right?
Yeah, 3 or 4 days. There were 3 days of working on the doors. Kind of one work day for each door. And then some, went to the apple orchard, got some apples, made some apple pie. We liked them apples.
How do you like them apples?
In a pie.
Huh. It's too bad you can't make a lemon pie. Because there's no such thing as anything even a little bit similar to a lemon pie.
No, there's a dance involving lemons, like a merengue. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. There's a party I've heard of. I went to the state fair this weekend. I was supposed to go to the state fair and see the B-52s, but the forecast called for a bunch of vomiting among one of the people I was supposed to go to the state fair with, so didn't happen there. But went to the state fair and rode some rides, and there was a ride that was like a little, you know, one of those little sort of like self-contained circular roller coasters. I guess every roller coaster is self-contained. This roller coaster just goes out onto the freeway for a while. But it was like a little circular roller coaster that, you know, you get some up and some down or whatever, and it just goes really fast is its deal. Maybe a 30-foot diameter roller coaster. But it had this weird cover that would go over the top of it about halfway through. So you're now in a little tunnel that you can't see anything. Okay. It was fun. We saw some really boring... this is what I think of when I think of state fairs, because they're like the county fairs where I grew up, in that they're like, you know, a demolition derby or a tractor pull or a bunch of art from school children or whatever.
Yeah.
There was a contest, apparently a competition about police canine dogs, where they would, I don't know, the policemen would have to tell them to attack a bunch of dudes.
Hmm.
And they had to attack them quickly and effectively and then get called off properly, which almost none of them did.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, that made me pretty happy about, yeah, it took a lot of tries for the cops to get the dogs to stop eating the dudes that they were supposed to be eating in the first place. I guess if you're a canine unit and I also got to thinking about how angry it makes me that that's what that's called.
Oh, the letter K-9?
Yeah, you know, because there was just one asshole who thought he was clever. You know. Just call them canine unit, C-A-N-I-N-E. But don't, you know, that's like a dumb joke from some book about the king's coat of arms. That's not, like, a thing that cops should talk about.
Right.
And expect the rest of us to take seriously.
Well, if you're unable to call off the dog that's gnawing on your face, you're going to take it seriously no matter what it's called.
Yeah, yeah. I did not eat any deep fried anything because I learned my lesson last year. That lesson not being so much that like, oh, that's, you know, it's bad for you or makes you feel bad, but that it was just all pretty gross. Had a deep fried Snickers last year or the year before or whenever. It was just gross. It was like doing a shot of chocolate syrup.
Yeah, I think I prefer
eating some onion rings. Like
I think I'd preferred my deep fried stuff to be savory rather than sweet. Like
I'm trying to think. I like a jalapeno popper every now and then, but maybe if the Snickers was filled with cream cheese, it would have been better.
I'll just stick with the basic cheese curd. I know that's a kind of a Minnesotan thing, but it's just superior to the cheese stick in every way.
Laker always brings back cheese curds from Wisconsin, but they're not deep fried. They're just squeaky knobs of cheese.
Yeah, that's where the money is. Is the deep frying.
Hmm. I don't know. I like them quite a bit, not deep fried.
Huh.
I feel like I've kind of grown out of that. I don't really care for like onion rings anymore so much, and you know the deep fried food you get at a bar. Like, I don't know what it is.
And certainly not very frequently, but I'm still with it every now and again.
More often than not, I find that my indulgences just leave me feeling gross.
Right.
And it's like, it's gotten to the point where I cannot stand to eat Doritos anymore. Like, I was like, you know, I went to Subway the other day and got myself a sandwich. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do a combo, because I haven't had any Doritos in a while. I bet that would be really good. But Doritos are just kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
I used to eat them all the time. Just all, like, nonstop, I would just eat bag after bag after bag of Doritos. And, like, I don't know what the fuck happened. Maybe you go a while without eating Doritos, and then when you come back to them, you're like, wow, this is not like food at all.
It's the aftertaste more than anything. Yeah, like a couple of months ago, there was, you know, hey, the wife's away, and I can eat whatever I want. I'm going to eat some Doritos, some nacho cheese Doritos. It's going to be fantastic. But I had finished the little snack-sized bag, and my mouth tasted like copper for like an hour.
Are you sure that you were not eating broken glass instead of Doritos? Because maybe that's what, maybe the copper taste was actually blood from your horribly shredded gums.
Actually, the blood was on the glass already. That's why they looked like Doritos.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So did you just sort of suck it until the glass dissolved instead of trying to chew it up? You were always one of those candy savorers, right?
Yeah, of course. And nothing's more like candy than glass.
Well, it's like a certain kind of candy. You know, like when you make rock candy with no flavoring or coloring.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like glass. For one, it's easier to sneak into prison. It has that advantage over glass. You get some rock candy, and then you hone it down to a razor edge and use it to shiv someone. And then the candy dissolves into their bloodstream, making them happier about being shivved and destroying the evidence.
It's a good plan. That's better than the icicle plan, because it's hard to get access to the prison freezer.
Yeah, can you make icicles in a freezer? How would you do that?
Well, I was thinking just, you know, some kind of mold that would allow you to make an ice knife.
Oh, like you'd leave bread out until it got moldy, and then use that mold to learn how to make an ice knife.
Exactly.
You would eat it, and then hope that the hallucinations would yield insight into how to make an ice knife.
That's the difference between argot and ergot that I always forget. Is it, argot is the, like, jargon or slang kind of language?
Oh, right, so they are like the argot in prison, like shiv or shank, yeah. Or in the box.
Whereas the ergot in prison would be the mold that makes you hallucinate.
Yeah, and think that people are witches.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, did you think that people were witches, or did they put ergot on wooden dildos to make themselves hallucinate? Because they were witches.
Because they
were
witches.
Or were they witches?
By the light of the full moon, she turns into a witch. Huh.
Be pretty tricky. I don't remember what the connection between ergot and witches is.
There was something about the, like, rub it on your broomstick and then place broomstick firmly between labia. Yeah.
But I think that's, I don't know, that sounds apocryphal.
It does indeed.
Any historical things about dildos is always going to sound apocryphal to me. It's and also, you know, if they had said that, you know, that it was some acronym, is the etymology of the word witch, say.
Yeah. Woman in transition.
No, wood in the cunt hole.
Oh, right, of course.
Is what they... Is what, that worked out surprisingly well.
Was that off the top of your head, then?
Yes.
I'm impressed. You didn't spend a couple hours thinking that one up?
No.
This whole conversation was
carefully crafted to lead to exactly that moment. plus, it's cheating because everybody knows that cunt hole is one word.
Right. Now you've got me going, wood in the cunt hole, shoo, 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 wood in the cunt hole, shoo, shoo, shoo.
What song is that?
Skip to my loot. Skip to my
shoo, shoo, shoo. There's a part of Skip to My Loot that says shoo, shoo, shoo.
Yeah, flies in the buttermilk, shoo, shoo, shoo.
Oh.
I got a kid. Kid's got to have his nursery rhyme things, and I got to sing them.
Yeah. Then we went to a bunch of haunted houses last night. That was pretty cool, actually. You know, that's why I have a sore throat from fucking going to... There were, like, these outdoor haunted houses that they have here. I don't know if you ever went to these particular ones. they're not too far from the office, and it's on this big lot, and they're like permanent fixtures. It's kind of like the Renaissance Festival, like where they've got buildings that they've built on this land that they just open it up for Halloween.
Sure, sure.
They're really cool. We were like the only people there, so we were not literally the only people there, but there was almost no one there, so every time we went through one of the houses, we were the only people getting any attention from any of the actors.
Huh.
You know, and sort of everything was timed exactly to freak us out, so it was actually a really fun experience. And also one of the only times that I feel like Groupon has been reasonable. Hot Stuff has become obsessed, well, not obsessed, he's just been looking at Groupon all the time to see if there's anything there, and I've kind of decided that Groupon is a really good way to waste a bunch of money. Like, yeah. It's sort of like Woot, where it's like, hey, here's a really good deal on something that I never would have bought otherwise.
Right.
Right. Even at this price, I never would have bought this. But this is like something, you know, every year I intend to go to all of the haunted houses that there are in town because, you know, I have aspirations of eventually running one of those. And I want to learn about them, see what makes them tick, see what makes me tick inside them, see what gives me a nervous tick on account of the fear welling up in my heart and soul. And I rarely actually get around to it. And this time there was this Groupon thing where it was like 80 or 90% off the cost of going through one of these things.
Which is nice, because the cost is usually prohibitive for those for me, because it's like 25 bucks or something.
Yeah, which is why, you know, like, and it's not, these, more than any others that I've been to, and I remember going to these a few years ago, too, these were more worth what they cost than a lot of things that I've been to, but not really, you know? The best 10-minute experience, I find it, I will say that the best 10 minutes is not worth 20 bucks in general.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, this ended up being like 12 bucks for all four of them. So, not a bad deal at all.
Yeah, that's madness.
Which is weird. Like, if, you know, like, I gotta imagine, this is my question about running something like that. Do you have to pay the people who are in costume and freaking out on people? Because it seems like you wouldn't have to, because if you were paying them, they'd be better than they were in general. And it's like, I feel like you'd find enough people willing to volunteer. Like, there were a large number of fake British accents going on among the people who were, well, either that or there are a lot of British kids, British exchange students looking for work and finding it at the haunted house. But it seemed like, you know, it's like the high school kids who are maybe a little bit Society for Creative Anachronism and maybe want, like, some acting credits on their resume and want to practice hamming it up in front of a bunch of people, kind of a captive audience. And I'm wondering if those people get paid.
I think they do, but not very well. That's the... In Minneapolis, there's one that's run in the same grounds as the Renaissance Festival is. They just kind of convert part of the Renaissance Festival into some sort of Trail of Terror or whatever.
So the castle becomes a spooky castle, and the blacksmith becomes a spooky blacksmith?
Yeah, and the pickle guy making inappropriate jokes becomes the spooky pickle guy making inappropriate jokes about dead people.
Oh.
But it's the same people that run it, and so it's kind of the same deal, like, most of your pay is that you get to hang out there in a costume and whatnot, and
like, so it seems to me, based on the stories that you told, that the people who work at the Renaissance Festival make less than minimum wage.
Well, yeah, like the stuff that Vaginal Bloodfart does there, he does one show where he gets a tenth of the tips that they get, and then for, like, walking around in the streets and stuff, he gets, like, 50 bucks for the season. So, yeah, definitely a token, a nominal.
A stipend?
A barely any money, pretty much.
Yeah, I was just curious, you know? Because I feel like if these kids were getting paid for doing this, somebody would be telling them to do a better job.
Uh-huh.
In some of the cases, some of them were really awesome. Some of them were really, really great, right? But there were just a lot of, like, fake English accents that was like, you know, knock it off. You're not adding anything. I'll feel really bad if they were actually English.
And just bad at it? Or?
There was somebody Scottish with a fake Scottish accent that basically made it so he was telling us that in the next room we were going to be raped into pieces by an army of the undead.
You're telling me that's not scary?
Well, it was pretty scary, and everyone heard it. It wasn't just me, like, because you know I know what you're thinking. Well, Jake, you see and hear rape everywhere you look or listen, but no, it wasn't just me. It was just a dubious choice of accent and particular pronunciation of ripped into pieces. No, it was scarier, but then there was no... Not only was there no army of the undead that raped us into pieces, there was not an army of the undead at all.
Hmm.
It was some of the... Like, so there were four sort of attractions that you went through. They were all pretty long and pretty sizable. Each of them, I would say, had, I don't know, 15 people working in it?
Hmm.
Like, there was no shortage of sort of attention. And sometimes it was pretty cool. They did some stuff where, like, they would trigger a noise off in the distance. Like, there were a lot of it was outdoors, and there was a place where they would trigger a noise off in the distance, and then you'd look in that direction, and something would pop up right in front of you.
Hmm.
Which was cool, because you're not expecting that. They just do a lot of things where you go into the dark, and then, like, can't exactly figure out where, like, which direction to go to get out of the dark, and then you, like, sort of just barely see some light, so you move toward that, and then there's a dude there. Nice. I don't know. A lot of pretty effective stuff, a lot of kind of silly stuff, but, boy, went through the dumbest haunted house ever at the State Fair. It was a little, one of the little cart rides,
yeah.
You know, and pay your, like, 3 tickets or whatever, and, I think it literally lasted less than a minute, and there were, like, 2 broken animatronic, like, monsters in cages, and then maybe one, like, spider that was vibrating.
Good old vibrating spider.
Yep. And there was a line out the door of the place the entire time we were at the fair. Every time we walked past it, I would joke, hey, wait, we should go do that creep show ride again. Get it? Because it was so terrible. Me saying that we should do it again is funny. But there was just a line of dozens and dozens of people just paying money as fast as the ride could accept it from them. Carnies, man. There were some people there with some weird eyes. Things wrong with them. Carnies. Do you suppose people move around from carnival? Like, do carnivals move around? How does this work? Like, when you have a state fair, and there's that Ferris wheel, where is that Ferris wheel the rest of the year?
It goes on a truck, and it goes to another state fair.
Okay, so the state fairs are, like, spread out through in time, because I feel like they gotta all be when the weather's decent, right? I mean, and you know, unless there's a Alaska leg and a Hawaii leg, which in that case the Ferris wheel would have to go in a boat.
I'm guessing that they end up in Florida. It seems like you'd be somewhere down where it didn't snow.
I guess when you think about, like, creepy sort of deformed people with messed up eyes, Florida seems like a good place for them.
Yeah, it's a good enough place for them to hang out in the off-season, where they can freak people out on their own time.
Man, when that shelf volcano blows and Florida disappears, we're going to lose a lot of creepy-eyed carnies.
Yep.
And a lot of homophobes and their t-shirt shops.
I didn't hear about that one.
Oh, it was actually a shirt from T-Shirt Hell, I discovered later, but we just went into this shop in Daytona. It was like one of those kind of spring break stores where they sell a lot of hilarious t-shirts. Right. But one of them was this shirt that was a parody of the John Deere logo with, like, this sort of, like, flamboyant looking dude running. And it said, "Nothing runs like a queer." And there was, like, a group of guys with, like, nail bats chasing him.
Wow.
Yeah. They sell it on T-Shirt Hell.
I'm sure they do.
I mean, but, you know, also on T-Shirt Hell, they'd sell a lot of, like, "I'm a dude who sucks a lot of dudes' dicks" shirts, you know?
Yeah, I will grant that T-Shirt Hell isn't offensive because they espouse one certain viewpoint. They're equal opportunity destroyers.
Have you gone on record as saying that you dislike T-Shirt Hell?
I do, yeah. I mean, it's fine if they exist and fine if they make money, but I would never buy or wear any of that shit.
Yeah, me neither. I think I'm... I don't know that I was ever at a point in my life where I would just wear a t-shirt that said something funny on it, but I'm almost past the point where I will wear a t-shirt that's, like, explicitly even advertising something that I like.
Right.
You know?
I'm more to the, like, blank t-shirts that have different colored bands around the sleeves and collar.
Oh, yeah?
Or, well, there was a, I guess, Sale at Old Navy where the such shirts were, like, $8, so I bought 4 or 5 of them. That's what I wear because I won't wear polo shirts.
Why would you ever wear a polo shirt, though? Like, I feel like you wear a polo shirt when you're golfing, or when you're, like, when it's, like, biz cash fry at work in your office job.
No, now it's just what, like, guys, what, it's what guys my age are supposed to wear when they're just, like, walking around.
Really?
Judging by Target and Old Navy and, like, judging by all of the places that sell clothes for people who are, you know, my age or a little bit younger.
Hmm.
But
you should buy your clothes at Goodwill.
Yeah, I do. I need to get me some pre-worn clothes.
They're cooler that way. If they've been worn before, they're cooler. Nobody likes it when you have something new on.
Yeah, especially if they've been worn before and there have been holes worn in them, then they're substantially cooler. Temperature-wise.
Oh, man. I hope that what is going on with my throat is just all of the dust that I inhaled yesterday and not that I am getting sick.
Were there a bunch of fog machines there, too?
There were a couple fog machines.
That shit, like, at our concert, the fog machine was worse for me than shouting the entire night. Maybe shouting the entire night in addition to the fog machine, but then the next concert that we went to was super foggy, too, and just whatever they put in there, I think, is starting to aggravate my sinuses and whatnot.
Was the next concert that you went to a Fog Hat concert?
Sadly, no.
Or a Supertramp concert? Because maybe that's what you were confusing.
There was this guy with his hat and so much fog. It was a Roger Klein show, not a Fog Hat show, but hey.
Right, but he was wearing a hat that spewed fog.
Exactly.
Well, do you want to look at some of these here questions?
Yeah, let's have a look.
So Bespite says, I don't know if you guys realize this, but a lot of the Jick and Skullhead podcasts don't have the music stripped. Wasn't that an issue? No, the thing is, because I haven't actually officially picked up the podcast torch yet, Stargazer... who, by the way, Stargazer, if you're listening, my mom was going to email you to thank you for the lovely gift that you gave her, but I forgot to give her your email address. So, I gave my mom that thing you said to give her, and B, she said thanks, and it's not that she's an asshole, it's that I'm one.
Excellent.
she has been pulling recordings from somewhere. Any ones that go up in our archive should have the music stripped at this point. So it's only if the podcast is releasing things that I don't get around to putting on the archive. We just haven't done, like, the show schedule has been really sporadic lately because of technical difficulties at the office and parents in town. Parents in town. Elfin says, the older you guys get, the more radio turns into 120 minutes of references to past shows. Keep it up, though. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you do something for 7 or 8 years and not have a whole lot of that.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of things written into the Twitter here. Damn, I gotta ask for cute koala pictures more often. Although, the one... oh, I see. So there's a bloody... evil koala on a t-shirt, and then there's another one that was it must be a picture that someone that maybe Cantrin took of a koala, but it's, you can't really tell if it's cute or not because it's kind of behind a trunk.
You kind of can't tell if it's a puppet or not.
Yeah,
it's just that kind of picture.
Oily Savvy says, what's 9.5 inches long and satisfies most cunts? An iPad. Oh, man, Mr. Skullhead, we finally got our square dongle. So,
nice.
So whatever happens before, what I'm hoping will happen is that a better, like a second gen iPad will come out before Comic-Con so that we can no longer lug my old ass laptop around to make a, to use the point of sale system that I'm just convinced is going to stop working one of these days. We can give people immediate feedback on whether they're ripping us off or not, which is great for people.
Yep. Will it only work with an iPad or an iPhone?
Well, yeah. That's the deal at this point. I mean, there might be one that works with an Android phone, but it's basically a thing for... It needs a device that is, like, wirelessly connected to the internet, and I don't think that it will work with a laptop.
Because they were talking about... Then they were going to come out with the i version of it and then do a laptop.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do a laptop version of it. It makes me slightly sad to think of anyone's Mr. Accessory money being spent on an iPad. But
irrational hatred for the device. I kind of want one anyway. And, you know, I feel like you should be proud of me because normally I would indulge that kind of shit, but I haven't felt like it was reasonable at all. The thing about, like, the iPad allows people to just, like, sign, which is one thing. I think sure. In order for that to work, I think you need a touchscreen of some sort. So I feel like probably the cheapest thing that is going to have a reasonable touchscreen and be, like, portable and have a big enough screen that, you know, you can actually use the inventory management and stuff on it is going to be an iPad.
Sure.
Like, I don't know, you know, if there was a tablet laptop that was the same and was as... Because, I mean, I guess the iPad is pretty expensive for what it is. But, like, thinking about it as a capital expense, it's not that big of a deal.
No, it's not.
You know, we would buy a laptop that cost that much to serve a purpose that was not as specific or as integral as this thing.
I keep trying to rise above my rage. I really do.
We can do it on the phone, but the phone version of the app doesn't have the, like, you can't actually, like, make an itemized receipt for the people.
Sure.
And stuff. And it's way harder. I feel like it's way easier for you to hold an iPad out to somebody and for them to type their email address on the screen than it is on a phone.
Yeah.
And plus that, you know, one of us has to leave our phone at the booth, which nobody is going to want to. Because everybody who has an iPhone, it's like they're joined at the hip. Like, literally, because you put it in your hip pocket.
Yeah.
It's,
Something like that, we have a clear business purpose for it in mind, and so then you get to have it to play around with and go, oh, whatever.
Yeah. And Riff, you know, Riff loves his.
He does.
I am pretty indifferent to it. You know, I don't get mad about. You got mad about the iPhone, but I fucking love it. You know, I feel like if it was what you were afraid it was, then I would have lost interest and wouldn't still be totally in love with my phone.
See, part of the reason I don't like the iPhone is the totally in love with the phone thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, my rage about the iPhone, I just can't have anymore because it's just so ubiquitous.
Yeah.
But the iPad is just, like, things that cost too much for, like, how powered they are kind of give me rage. Things that are really locked up and simplistic technology-wise kind of give me rage. E-readers kind of give me rage. And
like e-readers, like those little bugs that eat your ears.
Yeah, those two things that let you read books electronically kind of give me rage. And things that people who are fucking middle class spend money on instead of reasonable shit that they need give me rage. So there's a huge Venn diagram of things that piss me off, and the iPad kind of hits everything. But yeah, I try not to hate it, but I just look at that fucking 1024 by 768 screen and the giant bezel around it, and
Well, the bezel is so you can hang on to it.
Like, dude, you can read comic books on it, and it's the future of comic books. Fucking Neil Gaiman made me sad. Because he said, like, I feel sorry for people who have the ultimate Sandman because now they have 40 pounds it's of...
40 pounds of cardboard and paper they're carrying around with them. But when
And when you see it on the iPad, it's you can zoom in and you can look at it and, like, yeah, and you can leave them to your children as a keepsake, and you can display them in your home so that people can see them.
I mean, I've had the opposite conversation with you about a lot of stuff, right? Like, you don't feel this way about CDs.
Right.
And I mean, is it because CDs are, like, newer and, you know, don't have the sort of, you know, I'm with you on books. Like, I have yet to find a device that I would rather read a book on than a book.
Right.
You know, I have found a couple of cases where the ability to read a book on my phone was handy because, like, I was traveling, and anytime I need to look at a public domain book for work purposes, it is way easier to just run the e-reader app on my iPhone, find it, flip through it, than it is to, like, go track down a copy and buy it somewhere.
Right.
Right? If I was reading a book for pleasure, I would just want a book.
Yeah. I think it's that, like, say with CDs or even now with DVDs, anything that you play a CD on is going to require batteries to run and headphones to plug into it, and is going to have limitations to what it can carry and that kind of thing. And the same with DVDs. But a book, it doesn't require any power. It's the right resolution, you know, for looking at it. I don't know. You can read it in direct sunlight. You can read it in low light. You can not stare at a screen for something. You can have a... you can have a bunch of them, and they each serve a unique and useful purpose. Like, yeah. I don't know. It made me sad to think that somebody would look at the Ultimate Sandman.
It made me sad
to
hear it coming from him, certainly.
Yeah. I think that it fundamentally changes the way that you interact with something once it goes from a printed page to something like that. Like, I think that that would make reading a comic book like reading a web comic, which just doesn't stick in my brain in the same way.
Well, but would it if it was... The thing about a webcomic, I feel like, is that if you... Like, all of the long-form webcomics that I've seen, like, they get meted out, like, a page a week, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to it being a thing where you've bought an entire arc of something and then you just sit and read it. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know that I agree with you on comic books on the iPad, right? Because I feel like... I don't have any sort of feelings about comic books as artifacts, right? And it's because I didn't get into comic books until way later in life, right? Like, they don't hold any kind of magic for me.
Right.
You know, and, like, I don't know. I mean, I think of what a lot of people are excited about is the ability to just arbitrarily steal as many comic books as they want. It does make me sad, though, you know, because, I mean, I like to think that when I... So I've now bought three of the Ultimate Sandman collection. And I like to think that, you know, this is a kind of an extravagant thing, but it's a thing that I like a lot, and I'm gonna, you know, give him some money, right? And then have this artifact that shows my sort of, like, dedication to this work of culture, right?
Yeah.
And puts it in a way that's potentially preserved, even if electricity goes away or whatever, right?
And it's an art object too. It's a thing of beauty to see that how it's bound, and the colors of the inks, and, you know, flipping through the pages and putting the little ribbon bookmark in them. Like,
yep.
There is,
and it's hard to read. It's a kind of a like. Like you're approaching an altar, right? I mean, that's a gigantic tome. You kind of have to have it on something to read it.
I sat and read it. I wouldn't read it on the toilet. You know, it's a little too ungainly for that, but sitting on
unless you get a music stand to put by the toilet.
Right.
Then you can read as ungainly a book as you like.
I think there's just a... Like, part of the way we form memories is that sensory input. like touching a page of a book and the way that the cover feels and then the smell of it and the sound that a page makes when it turns, that all of that goes away when you're reading it off a screen, and it becomes the same as every other piece of ephemera that you read off of a screen.
I mean, I think that you would probably say that Maxim loses nothing compared to a website, right? Like, the sort of fluff that you get out of a magazine is as ephemeral as reading some shit on a website, and so it doesn't make any difference in that case.
Probably. I would probably sit and, like, flip through an Entertainment Weekly on a e-reader.
Or read a newspaper, right? I mean, I would probably never read a newspaper. Like, I'm not gonna subscribe to a newspaper. Like, whenever I'm, like, in a waiting room or something and I see a newspaper, I'm like, ah, newspaper, that's boring.
Right.
You know, because I just think of the new... Even though, like, I'm sure if I picked up a newspaper, I would find, you know, say a bunch of things that enraged me about local politics, right, or, you know, human interest stories that made a tear come to my eye when I thought of the poor koala bears and what's happening to their habitat. I guess that would be a koala interest story. but yeah, newspaper, man. Newspaper. I don't like how they get your hands all dirty. I don't like how they're mostly boring. And even the comics, which are like the things that you seek out, aren't really funny.
Yeah, boy, is that ever true. Were they ever, or...
I don't think so. I don't think the newspaper comics were ever particularly good. I mean, I remember kind of liking Garfield when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, me too. I had a couple of Garfield books. That now would be I would just look at them on my e-reader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it has that feature where you can strip Garfield out of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing about...
also says, my mate said that he wants to dress up as a penis on Halloween, but he doesn't have the balls, is Justin Bieber.
Haha. Uh-huh. What?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that little last bit is what... Sayan220 says, you didn't answer this question before. Will you ever publish, for money or for awesome, materials that would let us run the LARP that you run? I'd love to do something similar for my nieces and nephews, but I'm too lazy or uninspired to come up with everything myself. That would be a weird product.
Be like, guide to running a LARP? Like, system for keeping track of score and whatnot. I could almost see doing it as like a source book like you would find for a pen and paper RPG.
But yeah, I mean, like, certainly things have been published that have less information in them and less design work put into them than our LARP. Yeah, I don't know. The Stinky Hound says, last week I logged back onto KOL after 2 years. Thanks for not adding a bunch of shitty content, Lord Poopy Pants. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not, because nobody ever says anything nice about us.
Maybe he just hasn't played long enough to get to the shitty new content.
Cyber34 asks, which one of us has more of a koala fetish? Where was I? I was in some chat room, and there was somebody named Flippy. Oh no, I was in a World of Warcraft group, and there was somebody named Flippy, and I asked him, hey, between you and Hambone, who would you say likes dolphins more? and he just answered in turn, and I don't know if he understood the reference, and that's actually what it was a reference to, or, yeah, I don't know. You know, it was like probably some orc warlock named Flippy, because that's a totally noble and in-character name for... Turns out if you play World of Warcraft on a role-playing server, you can actually report people for having names that are just dumb, like not even offensive, but just dumb.
Excellent.
Like a name that a character in the world wouldn't have, you can report them, and they will have to change that name. But then I feel like not a lot of people play on there, and you probably have to go through a lot of prithee, good sir, dost thou wish to trade thy gems?
Anon, huzzah.
Yeah, anon and huzzah. Whew. Whew. Yeah. Man, is there any? I wonder if there's anything that's like the opposite of a bunch of dust and fog machine fog that I could inhale that will make my the back of my sinuses and my throat feel better.
I don't know. Like some basic steam would probably help.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I should, where do you get basic steam? It was invented at Dartmouth, right?
Yeah,
because the basic programming language was invented at Dartmouth. That's the joke there.
Was the game distribution network Steam also invented at Dartmouth?
Man, you know what Steam is doing to me right now? Steam is fucking taunting me right now is what Steam is doing. Because, so, in this age of digital delivery, I feel a little frustrated that things like this happen. Fallout New Vegas is on my computer, and I can't run it because it's not out yet. Even though it's on my computer. You know, and what I would like to do is I would like to play a couple of hours of Fallout New Vegas tonight after I'm done with my day's work. But what I have to do is I have to wait until midnight. I've arbitrarily decided, and I'm not, there's no way I'm going to not play it, right? Because I, you know, would probably still be awake at midnight. There's no way I'm not going to stay up until midnight. I'm going to end up playing it for 2 or 3 hours, and it's going to, like, sort of postpone my day tomorrow and interfere with my ability to get my shit done. And you could say, Jick, just have the willpower that it takes to not stay up late playing Fallout New Vegas tonight, but clearly you don't know me if that's a thing that you would even begin to suggest.
Right.
Yeah, it makes me sad. And it's like, it seems kind of weird to me, right? That it's like, what good is this situation doing anyone? You know, you got to convince people to take release dates. Or, you know, the physical boxes have been in stores all over the place. And there are all kinds of people popping up on the internet saying like, yeah, I got, you know, the woman at the store to sell it to me because she didn't know what she was doing.
Huh.
You know, until you can convince every person who works at Walmart in the middle of the night to respect the street date of your video game. You're not really preventing people from playing it in between the time when it's finished and when the release date is. I don't know, I'm trying to think how I would feel if I had a game that was finished and had a release date and we had all kinds of, you know, stuff planned that we were going to do when it was released and then people started playing it a couple days early. I guess I'd be sad.
Yeah, we're sad when people see content by, like, manipulating URLs to look at images and that, yeah.
Yeah, that's almost always before it's done, though.
Yeah.
Which is, that's why I don't like, you know, like the shit that got leaked today. Man, that was a fucking mess. That was, you know, I feel like there's a part of my brain that spent a few seconds trying to figure out a way that was somebody else's fault, but it was just all me. Because the server guy had made some change to, he had said, hey, I'd like to do this thing where if your main web server goes down, I can just hit a button and it will bring another one of the servers up as your main web server, and it requires this and this and this and this kind of propagation and this kind of MX record, this, you know, what it, like, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, okay, go ahead and do it. And he was like, all right, so you guys want to go ahead and test this? And I just had no fucking idea what he was talking about. So I, like, when an email gets sent to me and CD Moyer and I don't understand it, I usually don't bother saying, hey, CD Moyer, look into this, explain it to me and tell me what happens. But I didn't tell him, you know, and so just nothing happened. And then so today the server guy was like, hey, is it okay if I go ahead and make that change? I'm like, sure. And then it just brought the game down because of some shit that I didn't know about. And CD Moyer fixed it, but he had to push every script out. And there was a bunch of shit half finished in a bunch of different scripts that I hadn't properly limited to only running on dev. So a bunch of half-finished crap got pushed out. But then it all got pulled back, and now everybody, that's all anybody wants to know about in this radio show thread. Would you mind taking a little break so that I can go get a delicious Pabst Blue Ribbon? Which, that's what you meant by steam, right? Was Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Yeah, although you should boil it until it turns to vapor.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. I, if you'll vamp for a minute, I wasn't able to load up any music before the show due to the smoke alarm emergency.
Ooh, you should play some Meatloaf. It would be appropriate.
It would. Hey, that means that I only have to queue up like 2 songs for a 15-minute break.
This is really long. Zaru fan's asking about the Herald's Bell revamp, which I'll get to after the break.
Rightio.
Transcript marked, says King Stupid. Also, my 7-year-old just told me I'm in love with a dude in reference to Jick. Even 7-year-olds make fun of me. Awesome. How do you wake Lady Gaga up? Poke her face. 7-year-olds are funny. That is a pretty funny joke.
Even better if it was poker face. Poker face.
Sure. Sure, but you can't expect a 7-year-old to refine his joke. It's good that the joke was funny in the first place.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm now prepared to break.
Okay.
See you in a little bit, folks.
Hey, instead of a Pabst Blue Ribbon, I decided to go get a humidifier. It was in the closet instead of the refrigerator.
I was going to say, did you then fill it with Pabst Blue Ribbon?
That would be awesome, actually. Because I could just sit there and breathe and get drunk.
Just kind of soak up the alcohol through your skin.
Yeah.
Can't think of any reason why that
man. I had another exciting afternoon of reading contentious Metafilter comments. There was a thing about a program that was instituted somewhere where they would pay drug addicts like $300 to get sterilized.
Awesome.
Do you feel like that's a terrible idea?
No,
a flagrant violation of human rights.
I think that's kind of a fantastic idea.
Everyone was just aghast, basically. Huh. Like, yeah, I don't know. You know, not that I necessarily want to get into it, but it's, you know, some people made some arguments that I was like, yeah, okay, I can see why maybe this isn't a great idea, but you know, the consistent argument that was like, yeah, they'll get better.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, and they want to be able to, you want them to be able to have kids later because they'll get better, like, you know, really probably not.
Hmm. Sadly, but, yeah.
It's, you know, and it does seem a little cutthroat, right? You know, but it also seems like a pretty effective way of really kind of eliminating a lot of social problems over a long period of time. But people don't like eugenics, and it smacks of eugenics.
That's true. I still have the controversial opinion that everyone should be somehow, you know, reversibly sterilized until the point at which they submit an application to have a kid and take a fucking test.
My thing is not a test, but you just $10,000. $10,000 to reverse your sterilization. Because if you can get $10,000 together in one place, you can probably raise a kid. And if that seems like an inconceivable amount of money for you to ever have at the same time, maybe you can't afford to have a kid.
Then there would be a bunch of places that would give you having a kid loans.
Yeah, you'd have to crack down on those.
The only downside I can see to my idea of just everybody sterile until such time as they can prove that they are able to have a kid. And I mean, like, I'm not talking about an intelligence test. I'm not saying that you can't have a kid if you're a Republican or if you're poor or anything, but just like...
I'm saying you can't have a kid if you're
poor. Yeah, I know you are, but like the bare minimum of being able to care for and feed an infant. Because there are people who, like, I ran into somebody at the store who was buying baby cereal for their, like, 2-month-old, and the clerk at the store had to tell them that that's not something their 2-month-old should be eating. Like, so, you know, just the basic stuff. The only downside I can see is that there would be a huge spike in venereal diseases and rape.
Why is that?
Because, like, I would imagine that part of the reason that teenagers don't have premarital sex is that they're afraid of getting pregnant.
And
that the entire reason that anybody ever wears a condom is they're afraid of getting somebody pregnant. So... a whole lot of unprotected sex.
You don't think the whole venereal disease thing ever enters into it?
I don't think it's as much. I honestly don't. Because, like, the possibility of getting gonorrhea versus the possibility of knocking a girl up Yeah, I have a feeling that if they said there's no way that you can get this girl pregnant, you might get a disease that would eventually kill you. They'll go, I'm 16 years old. I'm never going to die.
Especially of a disease that will kill me.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you can't really, it's frustrating to me that, especially among, like, you know, the crazy liberals who are by and large my people, there is just this notion that, like, reproductive rights are so inalienable that you just can't mess with them at all. And I just don't get it. Like, so Frontalot made an argument. He's a hardcore super liberal that I actually like arguing with.
Uh-huh.
Because he, like, you know, he's actually thinks about stuff and can explain things pretty well.
Right.
He talked about the idea that, like, having kids and those kids being better off than you is, like, the primary mechanism for people to sort of vicariously escape from lower classes. Like, it is the primary vehicle for class mobility is the ability to have kids. And while that is a compelling point, and I hadn't really thought about it that way, I think that for every person who actually improves their life by having kids, there are 1,000 people who make their lives and everyone else's lives worse by having a bunch of kids they can't afford.
Right.
And, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what you do. I think what you do is you pay drug addicts $200 to get sterilized.
Man, I also kind of think that after you have your first kid, in a couple of years, you can take an advanced class and you can have another kid. And that's kind of it. In really extreme cases, maybe you can have a third kid, but that, you know.
Why is that?
Because nobody has any business having a bunch of kids in this day and age. It's just like...
What if you just like kids? I mean, should you be allowed to own 5 cats? Because that's too many fucking cats.
It's
pretty obviously,
like,
too many fucking cats, right?
Cats are not stripping the world of its resources, you know? Like, at some point,
ooh,
the human...
So you're all zero population growth.
You know, at some point, the human population is going to become a problem, right? And having 20 kids is just kind of an irresponsible thing to do for everything. You know, especially,
you could alternatively,
like,
think of it as creating more souls to
do
God's work.
And if I'm... You know, and I will get myself into liberal trouble again, but, you know... And if you're on any kind of social assistance, no, you can't have any more fucking kids.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't get to have 15 kids and be on welfare. Like, have, you know, sell one of them for parts.
Yeah, sell them to the wealthy as food.
Now that's
my modest proposal.
That is a modest proposal. That is not an indecent proposal at all. I'll give you $1 million for one night with your baby as an entree.
I mean, that's really all it takes.
It's kind of a modest,
leftover baby
proposal.
Is nowhere near as good as as the fresh stuff. Let's see what we got on the see what we got in the radio show thread.
I'm gonna throw that into the to the asymmetric Twitter. It's a good quote.
Zaru fan says, early Harold's Bell guy revamp slash change info. You know, he's gonna go out in the plains. He's become a halfling, which is funny. Because it's the left half of a guy. what's the next zone you're going to hit with your de-suckify cannon? Well, the tavern revamp is moving right along. Boy, did that almost get pushed out. Luckily, I had some sense in the way that I wrote that code. It's got some writing for Scully. It's got some stuff I want to talk to Scully about to see if maybe he has some ideas for things.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't really see any reason, unless I get sick, which I'm fucking hoping I'm not sick. I don't see any reason why that can't happen this week.
What about the Hades stuff? Where at we are on that?
It's all tested, and I need to put art in it, I think, is where we are. And you said that it needs some item drops?
Yeah, we just need some
items need enchantments.
Yeah, we gotta contentify some items, and we need to ask Dev that crucial question.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it needs art. So I feel like one of these days when I'm doing a bunch of art, I'll do a bunch of art for it. I'm sure you've given me 100 things that are fucking impossible to draw.
Yeah, there's this one guy that's just made out of other, like, made out of every Transformer from the original cartoon. So you just have to draw every single one of those and then kind of piece them together.
Is that really a thing?
No, that would be mean.
Okay. Ugh, man, my throat's... Billy Bob Fred says, Jake, your mall store says you should probably buy something, but it's empty. What gives? Edit, I am of course aware that there will be little point in stocking it, as you don't need the meat, or any super exclusive items you could sell would be better located in Mr. Store or Uncle P's. I'm just bothered by the contradiction. I should probably just get rid of my mall store. I don't need it anymore.
I had a mall store for a while where I only sold the stuff that dropped from content familiars. And I farmed all the stuff myself, but it just became too much to keep up.
Yeah, this game sucks, and it's hard.
Now, some of us have to work for a living. We don't have time to play this game.
Angry Seal says, integration with Facebook? You would make a killing there! I'm not convinced that you're right about that, but I'm also not convinced that there's any reason not to let people sign up for and play the game from within Facebook if they want to do that. Right. I think that right now, the thing that I feel is stopping that from happening is not being done with the current, like, sort of pass-through to kind of simplify things, getting the new top menu to where it's, you know, I feel confident that people can play the entire game well with that, getting the quest tracker thing. Actually, I feel like it's in a weird spot now for people who start playing because it's turned on for them, and then at some point it just says none for the rest of the time that they're playing.
That's
going through things one at a time, I've gotten to the tavern, and then I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to finish the fucking tavern revamp while I'm in here, because then that'll kill two birds with one stone. So it's not going to take as long as it has taken, but I made a fucking Facebook account. I'm already racked with guilt about not accepting friend requests from people that I only know through KOL.
There was a brief period of time where you could make a bunch of lists in Facebook and then click on each list to only see them in your newsfeed, which was an incredibly useful feature that just got buried like 5 clicks deep in one of the...
They replaced it, though. I think they got rid of it and they replaced it with groups instead of lists.
All I've seen about groups is that somebody added me to one without any kind of buy your leave from me, and now I just get messages from whoever posts in there.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. It's kind of lame.
Huh. Maybe that's a different thing. Dude, I don't know. Facebook, from somebody who knew nothing about it and just started from, you know, the ground floor using it, it is fucking confusing as shit.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it was astonishing to me how bad the interface is.
Yeah, how
because
something
it's
with
like,
that
you know, I expected from something like KOL that's like, all right, this is an accretion of features over 7 years by people, none of whom are interface designers, you know, and who we don't have an interface designer on the payroll, say, right? But like, man, Facebook is fucking confusing. Like, I feel like there are all these metaphors that if I got them, if they were natural for me, like, what the fuck is a wall, right? Okay, a wall is a thing that I can post stuff on. Other people can post stuff on it. Other people apparently can post stuff on it, but then everybody else can see it. Okay, because it's like, I got a house, and that's my wall. So sometimes people write things on my wall. Yeah. And then other people who wander by my house can see what those other people wrote on my wall. Okay,
it's a wall. It's your graffiti wall.
Okay.
But sometimes, like, there's a status update, which is like Twitter. Only sometimes when you post in there, and if you add a link to it, or a picture or something, it doesn't go as a status update, it goes as a note. Sometimes if you're looking at somebody else's wall and you try to type a status update, it just comes out as a wall post. And it is kind of an accretion of features from various versions that doesn't make sense, but part of it does just seem to be, like, they're so popular that they're not interested in it being any user-friendlier. So, yeah.
Another thing, it is, like, worse than MySpace in terms of, like, oh, okay, so I know somebody. I know that they use Facebook. I'm going to try to find them. Like, it is fucking impossible.
There's a search.
Yeah, but doesn't, like, so if you search for anyone who has a name, oh, that'll be 1,700 results. Okay, I'll try and narrow it down. Nope, no results. Okay, I'll try and narrow it down in a slightly different way. Nope, no results. I guess I'll just find someone I know who knows them and browse through their entire fucking friends list. Like, yeah, I don't know. I've not been happy with the search. You know, just trying to, like, find people that I actually know.
Yeah.
That I remembered seeing that they were on Facebook. Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm starting to kind of understand it. But yeah, I don't get what a note is. I don't get, like, is that like a blog post? Do you have, like, a blog on Facebook?
There's, okay, one of the things that kills me about Facebook, in that status update, that little box that you can just type in and have things show up for everybody, it has a character limit. Well, there's like 650 characters, but the box accepts up to 2,048 characters, and it'll just tell you, your post is too long. Please make it shorter. But it doesn't tell you how many you've typed. So, presumably, if you're going to type something that's going to be longer than those characters, you know, that character limit that is invisible until you hit it, then you need to use a note.
I see. There's a whole bunch of different, like, menus. I guess some of them are like a main menu. I found out about an art show that one of my friends had and went to it. Because it was next door to another art show that another one of my friends had that I was already going to. Oh, and now because I told it I like Joanna Newsom, it's telling me about a Joanna Newsom concert that I'm already going to. Cool. Ooh, CD Moyer's working on a new account menu page. Woo!
Oh, is that about to get friendlier?
Yeah, I was like, this is what, in my perfect imagination, because my imagination is perfect, Mr. Skullhead, the KOL account menu would look like, and I drew it. And nice. It was pretty broad strokes, but, yeah.
Were they at least different strokes at all?
They are, because it takes them to move the world.
It does. Were you trying to move the world to the beat of just one drum? Because I can tell you right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe what I need to do, what I need to get straight before I do that is to take the good and take the bad and take them both, and then maybe I will have a grasp on the facts of life.
Hmm. All I know is that as long as we've got each other, we've got the world spinning right in our hands.
Hmm. What's that from?
Either...
Growing Pains?
Family Ties or Growing Pains.
Hmm. I think maybe it was Growing Pains. Thank you for being a friend, Mr. Skullhead. I've been meaning to tell you that. Yeah. Oh, and also, suicide is painless, in case you were looking for a way out
of this
friendship.
I've always been confused by the Golden Girls theme song, though, because it says, if you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. Like, I don't ever throw a party just so I can give a bunch of people presents.
Because it's not you'd get a bunch of presents, right?
Right. It doesn't say that,
so
it's like a Christmas party.
All right, hey, everybody, I'm having a party. I hope you bring me a good present.
Well, like, I can't imagine a party where that's not, say, a Christmas party or something where you'd, like, hey, all of my friends, come over and I'll give you all gifts.
But I don't think that's what that lyric implies, right?
If you
threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me.
But it's not from me.
So that people coming to the party bring the person throwing the party a gift.
But at least as far as...
If it was your birthday and you had a party at your house and I was invited and so were a bunch of other people.
See, the thing is, at least the way that I've always heard the lyric, it's, you would see the biggest gift would be for me.
Oh.
And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
Well, I guess the biggest gift would be from me.
That makes a lot more sense. That's what
the
internet
thinks. But it doesn't really make more sense, because why would anyone ever have a party? Like, if you threw a party and invited me, I would not think, oh, I better get Mr. Skullhead a present. Because what the fuck? Like, what the fuck kind of party would that be? I mean, like, I want a bunch of free shit party. That's the theme. The theme of this party is let's pretend it's my birthday. We all dress up in my birthday suit.
This is interesting. I had always heard that as you would see the biggest gift would be for me, as in, you're the guy throwing the party, and you make sure that the gift that you give to this person who's coming to your party is the biggest one, and that you have a card attached to it that says thank you for being a friend. I guess figuring out what lyrics mean is not where I'm a Viking.
If you threw a birthday party and invited everyone in their birthday suit, you would see the biggest dick would be attached to me.
Hmm.
And there wouldn't be a card attached to it, because that's gay.
Right. That's gay? That's something that the gays do?
Yeah, you know, like where you fill a man's bladder with wine and drink it out of his penis.
Would you take that gay little card off of your dick, please? Come on.
Ah, man, they got it. Did they successfully get that joke removed from that movie preview?
Yeah, now they're trying to get them to remove it from the movie itself.
Huh.
Which, yeah.
That, I'm, you know, whatever, man.
I understand that in, after you have, like, six kids commit suicide because they were getting bullied because they were gay, that you might, yeah, it might not be the time to have a gay joke, but I don't know.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, I think the point, you know, that, like, the point that the South Park episode made, say, you know, doesn't have anything to do with gays when you say that.
I'm firmly in the Louis C.K. camp on that, yeah.
I don't think that if you... I don't think that if you eliminated every instance of that usage of the word gay from all of history, that there would be a single gay kid who got beaten to death by his hillbilly classmates still alive.
Right.
You know, maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe there would be subtle cultural reverberations from that that would make a much bigger difference than my pragmatic thought approach to it would lead me to believe. But, yeah. You know, what I think it does is it makes them look like assholes to a lot of people and further alienates them. 'Cause I don't have any problem with gay people. Right? I mean, as long as they don't try to suck my dick, because fuck that, man. I ain't no fag. But I think about the people who campaigned to get that joke removed from that trailer, and I think those people are assholes. Those are people that I do not want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Ever. You know? And that, yeah. I don't know. I don't feel like you're changing anybody's mind by doing that. I feel like you're further alienating yourself.
Yeah,
but
sanitizing the language is... Yeah. Sanitizing the language to get rid of the way that people think is not the way to do it. Yeah.
It's Evil Ernie 13013. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
It's the Louis C.K. thing again. Like, he has a problem with
Can you elucidate on that? I don't know that I'm familiar with it.
Oh, you should see that, by the way, the Louis C.K. stand-up. But he says, like, I have a problem with the N-word. And everybody goes, oh, yeah. And he says, no, not nigger. I have a problem with the N-word. Because what you're doing is just saying nigger without saying it and getting away with it. And when you say the N-word... In my head, I say nigger. You just made me say nigger, and that's cowardly. Yeah.
You know, I saw a thing from Louis C.K. is the guy with that new television show, right?
Right.
That everybody's thinking is genius. I saw some exchange over a poker game where he says, hey, our gay friend, does it bother you when people say faggot? And then he goes on, he does this little speech that makes it seem like, yes, it does. And then Louis C.K. walks home and he has a kind of a mopey look on his face. And I don't know what the conclusion is from that, but right. It kind of seems to go against, like, you know, maybe that was an illustration of him changing his mind about how he feels about words like that. So I don't know.
You should see the stand-up. It's entirely for guys like us, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've heard really good things about that show.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know how you go about watching a show these days.
Right.
Like, my instinct when I think, oh, a television show that is supposed to be good, I'll buy that when it comes out on DVD.
Right. Mine is, I'll watch it on Netflix streaming or Hulu. I'm actually watching...
Is that a thing that would be on Hulu? I mean, would Hulu... Because I feel like it's on a premium channel. Maybe it's not on a premium channel.
Let's see.
Maybe because it's good, I assume that it is on a premium channel.
It is on Hulu. Like, every episode of it's on Hulu.
Nice. The problem that I've always had trying to watch things on Hulu is that I'll be like, oh, here's a show, and everything starting from episode 4 is available on Hulu.
Right.
And I'm like, well, not going to do that.
Yeah, it looks like
maybe that's not happening as much anymore.
The first entire season's on there. I just wish that I could get me some Hulu through the Xbox, because that's where most of my entertainment comes from these days.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I'm far more likely to watch something on Netflix streaming than I am to watch it on DVD, even if I own the DVD. It's just easier to sit there on the couch and go to Netflix and watch it there.
The only time I ever watch anything on Netflix streaming now is on my phone.
Fag.
Because I just, like, don't... There's not an appreciable difference between watching it on my phone and watching it on my laptop if I'm, like, sitting out smoking a cigar.
I suppose.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's just that the phone is already out there, and, like, I would not sit at my computer and watch something. You know, so it's either, like, laptop or, you know, I just need... My Xbox is broken. I really need to send it in. It's been broken for months. Hmm. And if I had some way of getting the TV in my bedroom to show stuff off of the screen of my computer and have sound, I would never need to leave my bedroom again.
Does your TV and your laptop, do they both have HDMI ports?
No, they don't. The TV is the sort of old, super cheap television that we got for the Comic-Con display.
Right, right.
And it has a VGA input, so that would solve that problem with a laptop, right? But when the VGA input is active, there's no sound. Because it wasn't designed thinking you would use it for video, it was thinking you'd use it as a monitor.
Right.
So it just disables all the sound inputs because it's assuming that you don't want to hear the sound from your DVD player or whatever while you're using it as a monitor. So I'd have to get like another set of speakers or something if I was going to do that. And it just gets to be kind of a pain in the ass. I'm sure I could figure something out.
It was a pain in the ass with my old laptop because I'd have to take like a headphone jack to RCA converter to put the sound through the home theater, etc. But with my wife's laptop, it's just HDMI cable from...
HDMI has sound built into it?
Yeah. And then everything comes out of the TV. The TV has a cable that runs from it to the home theater. So that it's super, super handy for just plugging one cable in and having everything just work.
EvilArnie 13013 says, listening to some old shows got me to go play Twilight Heroes. It's pretty cool. I was impressed that they actually figured out a way to make a Doonerism spongeon. Still check it out at all? I've never seen more than 20 people on there at a time, and I think that's a shame. Yeah, I've been playing every day since he instituted the retcon, which is his version of Ascension. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it, and I feel like I'm learning things about KOL by playing it. And, like, I'm learning about how things might be for people who care a little bit about playing optimally. It's interesting. It has been a thing. And it's weird. I'm in a weird spot because I'm pretty sure I created my Twilight Heroes account. My account has the same creation date as Rhymes, the guy who made it, so I'm pretty sure that I was one of the first people that he told about it and signed up on the first day. And I have, you know, gave some money to begin with because I liked it, and so I have a ton of like the really old items of the month from there that it's weird playing a game with that kind of, you know, sort of old school advantage but not really knowing a lot about it. I don't know, it's been interesting. I look forward to when rollover is. I'm like, oh, I can play my turns on Twilight Heroes. It's been fun. So we'll see. We'll see how long it takes me to get bored with the sort of ascension and skill perming process, and then figure out why I got bored, and then figure out how to make KOL something that nobody ever gets bored with, ever.
Right.
Stupak2 says, apparently there's a thing called hostess gifts, where the attendees give to the hostess of a party, or that the attendees give to the hostess of a party. I had not heard of this until I went to a friend's party, and she thanked people for bringing wine or whatever as a hostess gift. Well, sure, I can imagine You know, I feel like if I'm going to a party at like an old person's house who I think is kind of a dick, then I will bring them a gift. something like that, like what I feel like that kind of thing is what those gifts, those Christmas gift sets, where it's like a bottle of booze and some glasses or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I will buy those because that's where I get a lot of my glassware, because they're frequently like, oh, this is something I would buy anyway, but it also comes with some glasses to replace the glasses that I've broken from three Christmases ago as one of these. But there's a lot of formal kind of party stuff that I just have avoided by never going to that kind of party.
Yeah. I mean, like, any party that I go to, I'll probably bring at least a 6 or 12 pack of beer.
Oh, yeah. No, I make a point of bringing more of whatever than I plan on consuming, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just a sort of like a guilt thing, I think. It's a not going too far in not wanting to, like, mooch off of people. And I'm just giving a ton of shit away all the time and having everybody feel like it's crazy how much shit I give to other people. Because I'm paranoid about not wanting to be a mooch. But that's a thing. I had a party once where I had everybody bring Hostess fruit pies. That's not actually a thing that I did.
That would be kind of awesome.
The Lone Goldfish says, regarding Punch Dick, I laughed. Thanks, the Lone Goldfish. Everyone should play Punch Dick and teach all of their friends to play Punch Dick. Or ask. At least learn to ask people if they want to play Punch Dick. Because the nice thing is, if they say no, you can say, well, too bad. Punch Dick is a game where I hand you $20. And if they say yes, you punch them in the dick.
Hmm.
But you don't tell them that. You just tell them there are two different versions. Yeah. But that's what you actually do.
If only I had an MP3 of the song Punch 'em in the Dick.
Is there a song called Punch 'em in the Dick?
Yeah, it's one of the stranger things that I've seen on YouTube. Like, one of the lyrics, like, think back to the days of gladiator arenas. The winners are the ones who always went for the penis. Punch him in the dick. Punch him in the dick. Motherfuckers talk shit. Punch him in the dick. It's kind of fantastic.
Wow. Whose song is that?
It's by Juicy Carcass. It's the
Juicy
only...
Juicy Carcass.
Yeah, K-A-R-K-A-S-S. And it's the only video that they have.
Huh.
And, yeah.
Hey, do you know anything about the band Onomatoguchi?
Nothing. Not even that they existed prior to now.
I knew the name Onomatoguchi, and I knew that they were something that was popular among nerds, but I assumed, every time I hear something that sounds Japanese, I just assume that it's some Final Fantasy bullshit.
Right.
Like, literally, any time, in any context, I hear something that sounds Japanese, I assume that it's some Final Fantasy bullshit. But apparently, like, because I was like, the theme song, like the intro music to the Nerdist podcast, Chris Hardwick's podcast, was this just sort of awesome chiptunes. And I, you know, sort of like always curious, like, I wonder where he got that. And it turns out Onomatoguchi made it for him.
Hmm.
And now I kind of want to check out their albums. But then I realized that with a modern band, I don't even know how you do that. It's like watching a television show. I don't know how media works anymore. I mean, I guess I could probably go to iTunes and look and see if there's any Onomatoguchi that I could buy, and then it'll be in iTunes. I don't... Where is my iTunes?
How do you spell Onomatoguchi, by the way?
A-N-A-M-A-N-A, and then G-U-C-H-I, I think.
If you put that into Amazon.com, it'll give you a link to all of their downloads.
How does that work on Amazon? When you download an MP3 on Amazon, does it just give you some MP3s that you can then do whatever you want with?
Yeah, like, it has you install a download client that it kind of queues up everything that you download song by song. So if you click to buy an album, it just kind of does it one at a time automatically. And if you have iTunes on your machine, it'll pop open iTunes and add it to the iTunes library.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that they were the guys who scored the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World game. That's kind of cool.
Mm. Oh, well, turns out we all like them without knowing who they are.
Apparently Pastafari is sending me punch him in the dick so we can go out on it.
Nice.
It's one of those things that I sat watching it, not sure if I liked it or not, but by the end they had won me over.
The video?
Yes. Yeah.
That's cool. Sorry, Asuka says, I was checking out Retcon and Twilight Heroes a little bit. Since you have experience with it, what do you think about the customizability of the Ascension options? Would something like that be interesting in KOL, maybe just optional that don't affect leaderboards? Or is it too different than how KOL has always been set up? So the way that it works in Twilight Heroes is that you will sort of, you have this kind of laundry list of restrictions that you can add, and each of them is worth sort of bonus points for the run.
Uh-huh.
And then the leaderboards are for different ranges of points. Which strikes me as a little weird about that, like, is that there are various ways of kind of inflating the number of points that you get. What is interesting is that the harder your run is, the more of these points that you get, which you then spend on stuff. So, like, his equivalent to the stainless steel and plexi items is like a store where an inventory unlocks, and then in your run, you use these points to buy stuff from the store. And it has a couple of interesting implications. Like, this I really like. You can always get, like, let's say he fucks up in the, you know, like we did, say, and the stainless steel sorcerer reward is the one that you basically want for every run if you're being optimal, right? Instead of having to do a sorcerer lead-in every time, you just do one sorcerer run, and then that's available in the store for the amount of currency that you get for finishing a run,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can always buy it. You can always pull it once you've bought it, which, you know, I guess this is more interesting in the sense of, like, a hardcore, or in his case, like a no-pulls run. But you can also save up those points to buy more consumables than a single run would afford you over the course of a run, hmm. you know, that don't count against your pulls, which I think is a pretty interesting setup. You're still limited in the number that you can do. But what I'm worried is going to happen with the leaderboards is that because the brackets are, like, you know, 5 to 10 points, 10 to 14 points, 15 to 20 points or whatever, the only competition is going to be at, like, 15-point runs, because there's no, other than getting those couple extra points for that run, there's no leaderboard advantage to doing one that's anywhere in that range other than at the very bottom of that range. We'll see what happens with it. You know, I don't know. I'm becoming more and more okay with the idea of fundamentally changing things in KOL if I think it's for the better. So I don't know, you know, I think the way that we do the Ascension rewards is maybe showing its age a little bit and could use some attention. I think we could probably, you know, we've learned a little bit more about how to change things in ways that make us happy and don't piss too many people off.
Right.
So yeah, you know, I think that my problems with adding a lot of options to Ascension are going to continue to be there, which is that I don't want, like, I feel like Ascension is already an intimidating enough concept that I don't want to make it more intimidating with a whole bunch of shit that you have to pay attention to.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like it's a little weird because I don't know, and I like, I don't mean to offend anybody by saying this, but maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like Twilight Heroes player base is almost entirely made up of KOL players who are already familiar with it. With the notion of Ascension, and so there's just less of an issue with that as far as he's concerned. You know, I really do wish that more people would play it because it's cool, and I want there to be a player economy, and I'm really enjoying it. You know, and I met Preenequizer in KOL Rhyme in Twilight Heroes, and he's a swell guy, and we drank beers, and it was fun, and we talked about video games. And making video games and being a video game.
And if life is totally just a video game, man?
Yeah, man. Because we also got super high.
Excellent.
Just kidding, we didn't get super high.
Just
his
a little bit
might
high.
Be listening. We totally got super high, but I don't want his wife to know. we didn't actually get super high. So the radio bugbear questions, in the last 6 minutes, Evangeion Q says, I'm looking forward to the $20 anniversary familiars. I'm hopeful that the leprechaun fairy type will be a shark or sea turtle and fully underwater capable. Well, Evangeion Q, you did not get what you wanted.
You can't always, and this time you didn't. Apparently we struck some internet gold there, though. People seem to really like those.
Yeah, I heard nothing but positive things about them. Odd Stuff did some amazing things with them animations.
That, the hedgehog made me inordinately happy.
The fact that Keyboard Cat is actually playing the song the Keyboard Cat is playing, if you look at where his hands are on the keyboard.
I just figured he wasn't, but, yeah.
Space Piranha says, hey, Jig and Company, I thought it'd be cool to use my numpad for choosing combat options, but it didn't work. My little nubbly girl fingers don't reach from 1 to 9 on the numbers row. Any chance of this being implemented? The keypad is even further away. And I also have no idea why that doesn't work. Every once in a while, somebody will tell me about that, and I'll think, what the fuck? How hard would that be to fix? And then I don't ever actually tell anyone to fix it. So, hey, CD Moyer, if you're listening, fix it. I'd remind you later, but I'm going to be too busy masturbating to World of Warcraft concept art.
Or playing Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah. Man, I'm already getting kind of tired. You know why I decided not to have a beer? It wasn't fucking health or sobriety. It was because, oh man, if I start drinking now, it's going to be harder for me to stay up until I can play this fucking game. That I paid 4 weeks ago, by the way.
Hmm.
I want to play it.
It's kind of sad to be around people who are actual, like, aficionados of video games and realize that the two games I'm excited for coming out are Kirby's Epic Yarn and Epic Mickey.
Oh, I'm excited about Epic Mickey. Yeah. I have a feeling that's, like, might be good.
Yeah.
I haven't paid a lot of attention to it. I feel like it's still quite a ways out.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually,
did you get one of those pins that Warren Spector gave us?
Epic Mickey. No, I didn't.
I think I have an extra one. I'll give it to you.
But I had his wife tell us that we were kind of genius. And that was nice.
Neat.
I actually turned a little bit of a corner on Lego Harry Potter.
Did you?
I now enjoy watching people play it.
Oh.
I still don't feel the need to play it anymore for myself, but a couple of friends came over and played it for a couple of hours last night. Occasionally I would take a turn at the controls, but yeah. If somebody would just collect all of the cutscenes from that game, I would probably just watch it on a DVD.
Like, you don't imagine that, like, YouTube has collected all of the cutscenes?
Probably. If somebody would,
you know what I hate about YouTube, though, is YouTube.
Hmm.
Like, I hate trying to watch... If somebody made a playlist that was like, this is all of the, say, Maria Bamford stand-up clips that are actually good quality on YouTube with no repeats, and could somehow, when I searched for Maria Bamford stand-up, that thing was the first thing I saw, was like that list.
Right.
That'd be fucking great, because I feel like people would do that. I had such a hard time. What I wanted to do yesterday, because I was like, I just kind of wanted to zone out, I wanted to watch that Plinkett review of episode 1 again. And it was so fucking hard getting YouTube to play them, the fucking 7-part series, in the right order.
Hmm.
It was obnoxious.
Indeed.
And I... Fucking first world problem. Jeez. See, so I'm looking at Facebook, and sometimes there's this menu over on the left, and sometimes there's not.
Right, right.
What is it? Why? Why? Why is that either never there or always there?
Well, the reason why it's never there is cake.
Oh, right. It's because I need it, baby. Baby.
Yep.
Were you ever around when the pretentious artist would freak me out by saying, baby, 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 baby?
No.
That's the thing that he used to do. Just because it unnerved me.
Why does that unnerve you?
It was the way that he said it. I think I overheard him, like, saying it to the cat one day. He was just fucking around talking to the cat, and just then it suddenly liked the way his voice sounded saying the word baby, and was just saying baby over and over again. it's kind of monotone, you know, not like a, it doesn't like freak me out because I think that he's gay for my package and calling me baby like a pet name, if that's what you're worried about.
No, I know that if he were to ever hit on you in a gay way, you would just hit that shit with a quick
hit. Absolutely. No, I would be on my stomach faster than he could say baby, baby, baby. He says it kind of slow, and it's really kind of spooky.
Now I don't know if I should go out on Punch Him in the Dick or the song that goes, he called you baby, baby, baby all night long.
I think you should go out on Punch Him in the Dick.
Yeah,
is it time to go out on Punch Him in the Dick?
It's pretty close.
All right.
We can do that if you want.
Yeah, why not? I'll see you kids on Thursday.
All right, good night, everybody.